Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, once again alongside our friend, Mr. Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, it's springtime out here in the Rockies. How are you and how are things shaping up in the Midwest?
You got leaves on the trees out there yet?
Some of them, you know, I was just down in Denver yesterday and ash are just starting to push. Honey locust are locked up tighter than Martha Stewart in prison. But everything else is slowly opening up.
Wow. But, yeah, we got a color here. Our crab apples are starting to pop. I think a little later than last year, but yeah, spring's here. Shoot, we're ready to go. I'm kind of excited. Spent the day last couple of days down in Ohio, driving around, meeting some tree peeps, looking at trees. We looked at a white oak today and it was half bloomed out already.
Oh, wow. So
things are happening. It's time. It's time to, what do you call that when you make hay when the sun's shining?
That's it.
Go time.
It's go time, baby. And it is go time. And we actually didn't record an episode last week. So the last one we talked about was probably Arbor Day. And we've had this guest on that we want to bring on tonight. We've had him in the hopper on the books for a while, and I really love what he's doing. So without further ado, without much more chit chat, I want to introduce our guests tonight to, he is the host of the Municipal Arborist podcast. His name is Mr. Joe Hansen. Joe Hansen, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for so much for having me on.
It's great. I've been a fan. I know Joe's listened, Joe Aitken's listened to a few episodes, but I've been a fan of the quality of audio that you have and the quality of conversation. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So hopefully we could bring a little bit of that magic tonight, but I'd be curious, Joe Hansen, how did you get into this industry?
That is an interesting story of perseverance, I guess you can say. I started out as a wayward youth in the trades and kind of, you know, floundered about life until about 25 or so and met my now wife and settled down. And I was working in the trades and the recession hit. And by about 2009, the company I was working at went from having a pretty large staff down to like nothing. I was managing the company, went down to like, I don't know, like three or four people from seven or eight or something. And my hours started getting cut back. So I left for another company. I was actually a glazer at the time. So doing like glass stuff, architectural aluminum, storefront glass, things like that, shower doors. And I switched to a new company. And I lasted a few months until right after Thanksgiving, and then I got laid off. And then I was kind of like, well, you know, now what am I going to do with my life? And at the time, I used to be an avid mountain biker. I was part of an organization called the Chicago Area Mountain Bikers, and we used to build a lot of single track trail, do a little bit of like invasive management along like the trail corridors. So I was interested in like being out there. And we worked a lot in the Cook County Forest Preserve here in Illinois in the Chicago area. And I thought, you know, while I was looking for jobs, I was like, I'm just going to apply and see what happens. And I applied to be a seasonal laborer. And that pretty much injected the seed into me. And I literally moved on from there and kind of clawed and, you know, worked my ass off essentially to get to where I am now about, you know, 11 or 12 years later.
Wow.
So it's not, I didn't have a, you know, your typical, you know, education. I wish I did, but as I've said, like before, I like on my show and other people, if I would have went that route, I probably wouldn't be where I am now, just, you know, all things considered. But yeah, it's at first I used to take my lack of education as a setback, and I used to kind of like not know my place exactly, but now I don't care. Or, you know, if people ask, I just say, you know, I work from the field, work my way up, and I learn that way. So yeah. I'm pretty proud about what I've done and, you know, happy to share stuff with others.
So let me bust the bubble here real quick. So I'm the Municipal Arborist podcast. Yeah, I'm sitting here wrapping my brain around it. And you know, we love what we're doing. I think there's obviously the more that's out there, the more content, the better it is. How did this come about?
Corey
and I, we got our reasons, but you know, you got a colorful background, you got into it. Now, what the heck? Let's do a podcast too.
I've been playing music since I was probably like 17. I started playing the drums, and then a couple years later I picked up guitar. And shortly after that was like the big recording boom, with cheap recording technology for people on computers, et cetera. So since then I've always been producing music and interested in recording. So it wasn't like a huge leap for me to go to podcasting. For a couple of years, I thought about doing it because I listened to a number of podcasts and I was like, you know, should I do one about guitar pedals or guitars or recording? And I'm like, no, everyone already does that. And I'm like, should I do one about hunting? And I'm like, nah, you know, I do that, but I don't really know enough people. And then another gentleman, Daniel Marival, who owns a company called Green Extraction Technologies, who actually had on as a guest on the show. He wanted to start a podcast with me a few years ago. And I was just, you know, it was kind of bouncing around in my head, but I couldn't really figure out a format. And then eventually it just kind of clicked like, well, I am a municipal arborist, so why don't I talk about arboriculture from my perspective? And I know a lot of people, so just talk to them and start recording it. I really enjoyed being at like conferences or trade shows or training and like hitting the bar afterwards, you know what I mean? And just like chit chatting with people. Like I always felt like I learned more networking like that than I did from sitting and listening to a lecture for an hour.
Oh, I'll agree with you 100% on that. I'm roam around the trade show floor. I don't sit in the booth because ain't nothing happening there for me. But no,
I know because we work some booths together.
Yeah, but I'm on the people in for the talent to get to Corey.
Stop
it. But no, I love it. I love the fact that you have a background in. It's just the opposite with me. Corey and I wanted to raise the bar, and we wanted to share our experiences with our 40 years experience in arboriculture with me, just share it and see if we can help someone out along the way. And it's been a lot of fun. We're doing well, but I love the idea of a municipal podcast, because when you think of arboriculture, it's a different beast when you start talking municipal side.
Yeah. Definitely. And we, you know, in my case, I've worked the past 5 or so years in communities that have like pretty well structured tree preservation ordinances on private property. So, you know, we're not also taking care of just the parkway trees or the right-of-way trees or park trees. We're also helping manage, you know, private trees, either through like education or just answering simple questions and hopefully planting the seed in residents' heads so they can go seek out qualified professionals for their own, you know, tree care needs.
That's interesting. And if it's okay, if we can elaborate kind of a little bit on that. I think in one of your previous episodes, I forget the exact verbiage you used, but it was something around, yeah, you know, most of what we do as municipal arborists is we're putting out fires and we're cultivating relationships.
Oh yeah.
So could you just, I think they're pretty self-explanatory, but at the same time, not a lot of our listeners have had the opportunity to work from that municipal perspective. So the first one, putting out fires. I bet you're probably hearing only from people with issues, right?
Yeah. And it's not actually so much people with real issues from an arboricultural or risk management standpoint, it's people with perceived issues. So, you know, the simple example of, oh, I have a limb over my driveway and you have to remove it because it's going to fall on my car. Or, you know, I have a baby that sleeps in this bedroom and, you know, this giant elm is looming over my house. One day it may fall and kill my baby. I know that's an extreme example, but it's fires like that. And that's like where the education comes from. So then you know, we swoop in and try to like explain to them what we're looking for, right? Like the simple things that, you know, you, Corey, and Joe already know, right? You're looking for the simple quote unquote defects, which is, you know, a word we don't really like to use that much because every tree is going to have a defect. Right. But we just try to explain like the type of things that we're looking for: vitality, targets, simple compounding issues with trees that could place them in a higher risk category, and then trying to educate how we manage that risk. In a recent episode, I might have talked about like, yeah, you know, there may be a couple like 2 or 3 inch diameter limbs that are dead in your tree, right? And you as a homeowner would likely remove those because it's easier for you to do it on your own. But when you're managing, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60,000, whatever trees, you can't do that. So you have to manage your risk appropriately. And the risk doesn't exist for a couple 2 inch dead limbs, especially if they're going to get hung up in a tree, other tree branches like on their way down, and the likelihood of failure and all that stuff, you know, the risk management stuff. It's so, those are the type of fires that I'm really talking about, is like, you know, so, and most people accept it, but then there's also the people who like want to scream at you and, you know, go above your head and, you know, they're smarter than you sort of thing. And, you know,
oh yeah. Today's technology. Yeah. Everybody that you come in contact on in the municipal setting is an arborist that knows because they Googled it or they see TV. So that's one thing that, it lured me away from a few opportunities within a municipality was more or less the politics, the games that are played within a municipality. I shouldn't say games because I don't want to be disrespectful, but the chess match within a municipality to get things done.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance there, and you know, I think a lot of that, it's kind of weird. Like I want to say like, do your research, you know, if you're going to make the jump or start in municipal, but like, you don't really know until you know. Right. And then once you get into the fold and get to know other people and get to know the processes and how just government works in general, you're not really going to know exactly what you're looking for as far as like the politics go, you know? So I've had the good fortune of working for communities as a municipal arborist that were great. However, you know, when I worked for the Cook County Forest Preserve, of course, there was like tons of politics involved with that. You know, it was the Democratic Chicago machine, you know what I mean? But luckily in that case, I was just a grunt worker, you know, dropping dead ash trees for the most part. So
I was part of the ash program with ArborJet, with Cook County and the city of Chicago from day one. And I got caught in that washing machine a few times.
Yeah.
But Corey, have you ever, in your career, have you ever worked in a municipal setting?
You know, I have not. I have never collected a paycheck from a municipal or a state setting. No, I'm curious. Yeah, I know there. Go on.
Oh, I'm sorry, Corey. I was just going to say, I've made the joke before that once I switched from private, even though it was a different trade, to municipal, I knew I would never go back to private again. And then the joke with everyone is like, oh, it's easy. You guys are lazy. You don't do anything. But half of that is true. Like, it is easier because after we go home, you know, we don't have to worry about, you know, production, right? We don't have to worry about, If we send guys out to do a job, are we making money at the end of the day? It doesn't matter as long as the job gets done and everyone gets home safe. So we don't have to worry about stuff like that.
No, well, and you also see things probably from a different perspective. You know, kind of like you said, you framed and you positioned what fires are, but you're also a public servant, if you will. So really, I mean, you're kind of looking out for the best interest of the public, but also the best and the future interest of your urban forest. So that's got to be a challenge in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when I sit at different conferences or trade shows or what have you, webinars, and read about this big picture stuff of what we're supposed to be doing. And especially now there's a lot more like involvement with like community groups and not-for-profits that are starting to like put pressure on local government to make change, which is great. The problem is with a lot of it is, again, kind of like a balance. Like there's a lot of this like textbook stuff of how things should be. And then there's a lot of reality boots on the ground. What can we actually do? And like, what kind of funding do we have? What kind of resources do we have as far as like manpower? And then like Joe was alluding to, what are the politics? Like, what are we really up against? Because if we're trying to provide consistent service, not only to the residents, but to the urban forest, and then someone's not happy and they contact an elected official and the elected official reverses your decision, then nobody's going to get anywhere as a community. So
hamster wheel.
Exactly. So it can be difficult sometimes, but luckily the communities that I've worked with I haven't had too many issues with that.
Joe, speaking of communities, where are you located? I think we forgot to mention where are you at?
So I live in Des Plaines, Illinois. I used to work for the city of Park Ridge, which both are directly next to O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. I now work in the village of Wilmette, which is a North Shore community, abutting Lake Michigan. It is a natural water source.
good for the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the beer.
Yeah, no, I like that part. We were talking, Mr. Hansen and I were talking before we hit the record button, because I'm from Lake Geneva originally, which is just over the border in Wisconsin, about 45 minutes from them. And it's amazing when you look at the trees back in the Midwest, especially in the urban settings back in the Midwest, stuff grows. In most years, you get some pretty good precip. You have pretty well-developed soils. But something that you really can take for granted when you leave that part of the world is just how harsh growing conditions can be. But also trees there are a lot of Tree City USAs back in the Midwest, and they're just now catching fire out here. So are you all a Tree City USA?
Oh yeah. Park Ridge, I think, was 39 years or so. Wilmette, I think, is 30. I don't know exactly. I think 34, 33. Don't quote me exactly. But I think Illinois is just a hair under 200 wow. Total. That's another thing with residents. You know, you either get the resident that would be like, we're Tree City USA. Why aren't you doing this?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, or you get the other one that'd be like, you know, effing Tree City USA, BS. This is why you're doing it this way. It's like, look, you know, that's another educational point. Like, what is a Tree City USA? So I'd explain to them, it's not a very high bar. Like, it's right. A great designation and it's a good educational point, but it's not super high bar, right? So yeah. It's just a good starting point.
it looks good up when you're, hey, welcome to our town, Tree City USA, 5 years.
Yeah.
Numbers. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The plan was to show the general public that you do care about your urban forest. So, I see why it's important. You know, I can see why even Tree Campus USA is coming on board. A lot more tree campuses are getting the designation. But fantastic. Yeah, the Midwest, we do have a pretty good love for our trees. You know, but you're right. And I mean, I remember I was talking to, where do we see him? I was in Ohio. Where was I? I was at a trade show, and one of the cities that we first did EAB research in, Southern Michigan, the forester was there. Now, this goes back 2022, 23. And we were laughing about a resident. We were treating the ash trees on the city streets for research with Michigan State. And man, I had this guy come out F-bombing me. We're working with Michigan State. We're going to try to save this tree. Man, he even got more pissed off at me. He goes, why are you by the bug? He was BSing an F-bomb. I was like, dude, relax. He goes, I want to die. I'm sick of raking up the leaves. I'm like, oh, God. So I had to call the city forester in. The city forester says, yeah, I know that guy. Go ahead and treat it anyways. But, yeah, or something else.
Oh, that's awesome. I hadn't heard that story yet. Joe Hansen, Do you have any instances, without giving away, you know, names or phone numbers, do you have any funny instances like that? I hadn't heard that, Joe Aiken. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. The guy was pissed off. I was saving his tree.
I have a lot. I think one of my favorite ones was in Park Ridge. We're right in the middle of tree planting, which is one of the most important things that we do as municipal arborists, but also one of the worst shit shows you can ever imagine. Huh. Just with the planning and dealing with the residents and dealing with the nursery issues. It's just a lot. It's a lot of work. But anyways, crew pulled up. We would supervise pretty much most of the plantings. And the crew pulled up. I would sit behind them in the truck, jump out, check the tree, you know, make sure the tree met our specs, and then get back in the truck, you know, enter everything in my app and make sure that, you know, everything was on the up and up. When they were done, I'd get out, you know, double check to make sure everything was good, or I'd stand there, depending on the circumstances, if they're in the groove or not, et cetera. Anyways, these guys are planting the tree. Neighbor walks out and he points at the ground and excuse my language, but he points at the ground and he goes, "What are you, fucking blind?" And I said, "Excuse me?" And I walk over to him. He's like, "Are you blind?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he's pointing at the ground and I can't see what he's pointing at. And I get closer and I finally see this little tiny stub from like a 3-inch stump from a tree that was removed, who knows how long ago. He's like, "You guys removed this tree. You never ground the stump out." He's like, "Now you're planting a tree 10 feet away. Didn't you see it? The fuck's wrong with you?" And I was like, you know, I was trying to be polite initially. And then I forget, he said something. And this all occurred within like 5 seconds. It was really quick.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually said, "You know what? I'm done talking to you. You're a fucking asshole." And I turned around and I left. And I was having a bad day. I shouldn't have said what I said, but he was way pushing the limits. And he called my boss, the director of Public Works, and complained. And then my boss called him an asshole and hung up on him. And then he ended up calling HR and complained to both of us. But none of us got in trouble because he was indeed an asshole.
It would have been a fun response. I'm starting to laugh. You know, and I've got other good ones with working in these. I says, "Now," and the guy's pointing at me. I go, "Yeah, why would I plant another one there? That one died, dumbass. Why were planting over there?"
But on this topic, I don't mean to plug my own show, but I just did an episode you guys should listen to called the Arbor Day Special. And it's a bunch of voicemails that I had from my previous job that are pretty amusing.
No, I listen and it is hilarious. And, you know, what's amazing to me, and I'd be curious to know what the ratio is of good versus bad or positive. You know, positive, hey, we're saying praise your employee or the contractor did a great job versus you all don't know what you're doing. And what are you thinking?
It's interesting. Like I actually keep we used tree inventory software and management, work management software. So we kept track of everything, all the inspections, but I went a step further and kept track of every single phone call that I had. Just because the frequency of the calls and the information that I was given was so great that you get a call like a month later or 3 years later, and they'd say, "You told me this." And I'd be like, "Oh, I don't remember that." So I'd check my notes, just a spreadsheet. And I'd be like, "No, you know, I talked to you on January 3rd, 2018 at 3:22 PM. And I told you this," and then they'd shut them up. But basically, to explain that. So Park Ridge had a population of about just a hair under 38,000. I was handling about approximately 3,000 recordable phone calls a year. That's like me actually talking to someone on the phone, not the phone ringing. And of that, probably only like realistically, like 50 to 65 were like people that were upset. The rest of them were just like things, these fires, things that were taken care of that we never heard from again. We'd go out, do an inspection, prune a tree, not prune a tree, and we'd never hear a thank you or anything. And then very few of those, probably less than 20, would follow up and say, "Thank you for coming out and doing that," or "Your contractor did a great job." So when we would get that contractor feedback, I would always forward it to the contractor so they can let their crews know, and he could, you know, show off to his boss too that they were doing a nice job.
Well, one of the voicemails that you had on that last episode was it was an individual who was complaining that the contractor had started too early.
Yeah.
And that sounded like a valid point. I don't want to spoil it for folks. I'll let, you know, we'll let them listen to the episode on their own, but it makes you think, and it kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah. When people are calling and not complaining, but, you know, raising their concerns, you sometimes have to like, just let them talk, take a breath, and not jump right on them, because a lot of the stuff, not jump on them like aggressively, but like
right.
a lot of the stuff that we hear is the same stuff over and over and over. So like, we're like broken records repeating the same information. So sometimes when they start going, you know, I'll tell you like, oh, hi, my name's John. I'm a Park Ridge resident. It's like, yeah, no. Yeah. I know you're a Park Ridge resident. You need to tell me that. And then, right. you know, I've lived here 30 years and I've never called once. And, you know, I have this issue with my neighbor and this and that. You just got to take a breath, let them explain their entire story, and then play your broken record.
Man, that's right. Awesome.
But someone's got to do it. Might as well be you, Joe.
Yeah. Well, for now. No, I'll be doing it probably definitely for the rest of my career, but some days, I'm not gonna lie, are a little just like every job are a little like, oh fuck, you know, it's too much.
Yeah the general public can be overbearing at times, but the set of reward at the end of the day of doing a great job in this green industry more than makes up for it. So I feel you on that.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, and I'm really proud, and I think a lot of people, I think municipal arborists in a large sense, you know, all jokes aside, I think they do have a lot of responsibility, and this is something that I haven't been overly exposed to, but Joe Hansen, as we're kind of tying a knot on this episode today, what's something that you wish that more tree services or contractors or even maybe the general public, what's something that you wish that they would know, sympathize, or understand about what you're trying to do?
That's a really loaded question, Corey. And
sorry.
I think honestly, like the base foundation of the whole thing is just, I wish the public had a little bit more education, so that by the time they spoke with a tree service, they knew or understood a little bit more what they wanted. That's just going to benefit everybody. And that's the biggest piece of the puzzle in our urban forest, is what occurs on private property. And, you know, the larger corporate companies and a lot of the like really niche mom and pop shops that get it, they're awesome. But there's a lot of companies out there that are just, you know, some guys who worked for like a line clearance company, or maybe they worked for a corporate company for a season or two, and they go out on their own and they don't really understand what they're doing and the implications of their poor, uneducated craftsmanship. And I don't mean that in a take a stab at them. It's just the lack of education, you know. That's what I wish people knew more, you know, that just that base foundation.
You know, I like how you said that very eloquently, you know, and I think Corey, you and I have on that in other episodes and in off air discussion, is that we feel the same way between forestry and urban forestry. So not between municipality and private, there's that gap of communication. So then you got urban forestry in the middle, but then we have the same gap between forestry and urban forestry. Yeah. There's not enough communication between everybody who handles the world's largest living organisms on the face of the planet. We just seem to be going in our own direction, doing our own thing. And there's just not enough unity or crossover between disciplines. So,
agreed. Yeah, I definitely think that's a future. That's definitely a direction, you know. And how can we bring it all together? And I think we're, you know, everybody here on this recording is doing it in our own ways, whether it's the day to day interactions we have or through this podcast of just trying to educate, raise the bar, bring everybody together, and say, hey, let's look at the bigger picture and how everything's related. And let's go save some trees. I think.
That all comes down to people.
That all comes down to people. Well, Joe Hansen, we can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. Briefly, if you could just tell people either how they can reach you or what platforms the Municipal Arborist podcast is on, and any other party messages that you'd like to deliver.
Yeah. So the podcast can be found anywhere that fine podcasts are sold or heard for free by hitting play. Basically, the only last thing I want to shout out is anyone listening from Illinois, please support the Illinois Arborist Association. We're the second largest local chapter of the ISA in the world. And we do tons of yearly training. We have a great summer conference, a great annual conference. And please, you know, if you're from the area, check us out.
Fantastic, Joe. Yeah, thanks, it is, guys. A great organization. Back in the day, I used to frequent it. Awesome. But I'll have to get back over there again. But best of luck to you, Joe. Great job on the podcast. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me on. It was a good conversation. It went by too fast.
You bet. We'll have to have you on again. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.